Sean Lincoln wants you to sit back, close your eyes, and get ready for a little trip down memory lane. Take yourself back to your teenage years and try to remember what your bedroom looked like. Think about its size and shape, the colors, the things in it, the posters up on the wall, the music you played, what the room smelled like. Think about what you used to do in there. Lincoln bets you can remember some of those details pretty well. Sean Lincoln writing in Youth Culture and Private Space. More formally, we realize that the bedroom has long been a space in which children and adolescents both retreat and socialize, articulate maturity, and construct identity. Whereas children may view their bedroom spaces for utilities to play, dress, and sleep and so on, adolescents treat their bedrooms both as safe havens from a world they are only beginning to negotiate as adults and as spaces in which they often have complete control over their surroundings and behaviors. The bedroom is often adolescents' only private space, though the bedroom can function as a meeting space for socialization among peers, where friends may gather to listen to music, hover over a computer, or simply chat about their lives. Their bedrooms are their personal domains in which they determine what surrounds them and how they make sense of it. Words of Shayla Thiel in Media Use in Bedrooms. And ultimately, bedrooms are important sites in making a young person's identity, solitary spaces within which teenagers shift in and out of public and private realms, often through various media. As it happens, it's no accident. The inside of a blue-infused bedroom has become the emblem of an exhibition of photographs by 10 high school students who have been taking part in a 12-week photography course presented by the Social Fabric Collective here in northeastern Pennsylvania. And Madeline Swire took this photograph for the class assignment to Shoot Your Bedroom, in keeping with the collective's conviction that you don't need to travel to exotic places to take interesting photographs, that you can make interesting images in your own neighborhood, on your own streets, in your own home. The goal of the workshop is to create a collaborative environment where photography becomes part of the fabric of the students' daily lives. Thus, the name of the program, Social Fabric. Founder Jamie Smith is an artist and professional photographer who has produced the J. Maisel Workshop in New York City since 2007. He has a BA in Studio Arts from the University of California at Santa Barbara, and he has returned from New York City to northeastern Pennsylvania, where he spent many summers at his grandmother's home. He's thought a lot about bringing the high-caliber type workshop classes that he produces in New York here to the Wyoming Valley for young people who might not be going on to become professional artists or photographers, but who could, in learning about photography, learn about themselves and their communities. The exhibition Explore Your Empathy, the second in a series, will open this Wednesday, December 14th, at T.W. Shoemaker Art, a gallery on Wyoming Avenue in Wyoming, with an important food drive component. The works featured will be those by the 10 students from 8 different schools taking part in the Social Fabric Collective workshop. Jamie Smith paid a visit to the WVIA studios with students Chris Clark of GAR High School, with Maddie Swire of Dallas High School, and Paige Dean of the Pennsylvania Cyber Charter School to talk about the workshop and the students' work. Jamie Smith.
Basically, I'm just trying to bring together a group of kids who otherwise wouldn't meet each other and have fun, have a good time, and learn a lot about themselves, their community, and expose them to new experiences, interesting people, whether it's business leaders or artists in the community.
And is the idea of the camera that's on the table there and the idea of taking pictures, is that just a means to an end, or is it more?
I'm not sure how to answer that other than, I'll say this anyway. I'm never bored. I may be boring, but I'm never bored. And so where ideas start for me and what they turn into is always kind of interesting. This morning in the shower, I was actually thinking a lot about where I used to work in New York on the Bowery, which was, it's changed a little bit, but basically restaurant supplies, so having to do with food, and Skid Row is where, you know, the nightclub CBGB's was and the Bowery Ballroom. So you had this kind of odd mix, and I used to kind of wander down from the subway a couple of blocks, and I would pick up old chairs and collect things, and you wonder now a decade later, how does that stuff wear off? And this group anyway is doing, for their photography exhibit, is doing a food drive. So I'm kind of curious, just this morning, wondering maybe that experience of 10 years of walking on the Bowery and seeing people who are kind of down and out and passing the Bowery Mission in the soup kitchen and serving people, how that may have manifested into this current project.
Did you have a camera with you ever?
Every day, all the time, yeah. It's required when you work for Jay.
And Jay is your...
Jay Mazel, my mentor, and for those people who don't know a little bit about him, he was born in Brooklyn, he's 84 years old. He was a commercial photographer since the early 50s, the Miles Davis kind of blue album cover, Sports Illustrated swimsuit, United Technologies, Coca-Cola. Just an incredible, unprecedented, and probably you'll never see again type of commercial career, but really more of an artist. He actually did not study photography. He studied painting and graphic design at the Cooper Union. He studied color with Joseph Albers at Yale, and he worked with Buckminster Fuller doing geodesic domes. So Jay, at the age of 35 as an artist, nobody bid against him, and he bought a six-story, 35,000-square-foot, 115-year-old former Germania Bank building. And to give you an idea of the Bowery in that neighborhood at the time, nobody bid against him. And nobody wanted to live down there. He wanted the space. He wanted light. And so it just shows you what, as an artist, the potential and the vision. I think if you start to look at what's happening here in Wilkes-Barre with maybe the Think Center that the Greater Chamber is developing, or you look at Pepper Jam, somebody like Michael Jones, I think there's potential in Wilkes-Barre. Part of what an artist can do is have a vision or look at something that other people would overlook and find a different use for it. So maybe this program is a little bit of that. Bringing these students together from different schools is really interesting to have them get together. They'll meet people from different neighborhoods, from different racial backgrounds, different cultures, different religions, just basically everything. And they get exposed and learn probably as much from each other as they do from me.
And tell us how this sequence of weeks unfolds.
By accident. I do want to read one quick quote. This is by Susan Mizales, who's a Magnum photographer. "The camera is an excuse to be someplace you otherwise don't belong. It gives me both a point of connection and a point of separation." So typically, it's about 3 months, so 12 weeks. I start out the session by figuring out where people are, almost like a voir dire if you think of a jury, you know, figuring out, let's see who you are, where you live, with whom you live, what your parents do, what your background is. And the first 3 weeks is, you know, interesting to figure out what everybody brings to the table, get them comfortable holding a camera and using it. And from that, I start to figure out what kind of guest speakers might be of interest to them. And so, as an example, we had a couple students interested in music. So the first guest speaker was Jessica Kang, who's a violinist and also librarian for the Northeastern Philharmonic. And the kids got to see her actually play. She came and played during class, during editing, which is not typical, but it was really interesting, and then talked about how she became a musician and what's involved. And then the students had the opportunity to go photograph the rehearsal, and some of them actually attended the performance. We had Jim Gavinas, who's a photography teacher, photojournalism at Luzerne County Community College. But Jim also does a lot of interesting work. He's done blues work in Mississippi and a lot of civil rights work in the South and people who marched originally on the bridge in Selma. And he came in right around the time of the election, and it was interesting to see his point of view and this project of family members of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And some of those issues are still going on today, so that was relevant in his work. Chris Dolan, who shoots a lot of sports and politics and things for the Citizen's Voice, was a speaker. We then spent that next Friday photographing a Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins hockey game. Heather Sienkiewicz is now the new director of the Sardoni Art Gallery at Wilkes, and she came and talked to them about her work, which is part administrative, part director, part curator, part instructor, and she does a lot of performance work, so it was interesting for them to see all the different hats that she wears and get a personal take on her work. Yesterday we had a really good friend of mine, Pam Zucker, who is co-founder and an art director of a company called Principle. It's an agency based in Houston. She talked to the kids a lot about branding, identity, collaboration, what it's like working for a client. And then given that we are trying to have a pay-it-forward attitude with this whole session, and the students have been on scholarship and received cameras, we decided we should find a way to give back to the community, and they've done that in several ways. The first is that they are currently volunteering for different food distribution and food banks in our area. CEO's Westside Food Distribution, they had a Thanksgiving meal service and delivery at the First Presbyterian Church in Wilkes-Barre. Students took part in that. We also have students who are volunteering at the Mount Zion Baptist Church's Our Daily Bread food pantry. And it's some things as simple as taking out garbage. It's restocking things on shelves. It's helping people carry bags of food out to the car. And then it's other people like Eileen Cruz, who's a student of ours at Costa Myers. She wants to be a Spanish teacher. But in reaching out to the community and meeting different people, we figured out that there are different needs. It's not just some crummy old can of food that you want to get out of your pantry and you just take it down to the food bank, but it's figuring out what people actually need and getting to know them and that sense of empathy and what it's like to be in that position. And we discovered translation is a big problem. There's a lot of people in need who come into the food bank who maybe can't read or figure out how to fill out that form in English. And so for Eileen, who wants to be a Spanish teacher and somebody who's fluent, it was really fun to see her come in, and just the relief on the face of the people who were there and kind of, you know, hungry, and they're in a difficult position and it's confusing. I think we all can empathize with that, being unable to understand or communicate what it is, and to just see that all go away in an instant as soon as she could explain to them and laugh and start to talk and they'd just be familiar with people was great.
How is having a real camera, not just using your phone? What's the difference with this?
Well, the difference is that we actually have more of a outlet and more, because some cameras don't have a sports feature. I like taking pictures of sports because my friends are in sports, and so it's kind of a lot better having the equipment to take better photos.
Yeah, like Chris said, we have the equipment to take different kinds of photos, and there's different effects and different ways we can take pictures.
Not only with the equipment, even though that's a big part of it, it kind of makes you feel different having it. You feel more important and like you can take the pictures the way you want to.
And what about the sense of looking more carefully? Are you looking more carefully because you've been talking?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what are you seeing? Are you seeing patterns, colors?
Well, what Jamie taught us was to look more closely and pay attention to more things, like the small details.
What's been your growth? What have you seen?
Well, first of all, Jamie has told us that corners have, like, triangles in them, and that's not a good thing to have, and to take those out and also not cut people off or cut certain objects or things in their photos. And I didn't really notice that before I took the class or in the beginning of the class, but now I'm starting to see all of it.
Well, now that I know how to work the camera because I read the manual, I know how to use the settings and certain lightings, so it's not, like, blurry or, like, it's perfect.
At the beginning, I kind of just took pictures of whatever looked nice, but now I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, the lighting looks good here, but will I be able to get the right angle for it?
Now, I understand you went to New York, and you heard Gregory Heisler. What did you take away from that? Did he have slides and stuff?
Yeah, he had a lot of slides, and he talked about how contrast and lighting can do a great deal on how a photo turns out.
With what Maddie said about the lighting thing, he talked about how the certain colors or where they were coming from could change the setting completely, even if it's not even really there.
What I took from it was basically that lighting can even tell a story kind of in a picture, that it can tell something different. It can even add a mood to a picture. How if you have dark lighting and more eerie, it can be sad and depressing, or more upbeat and colorful, you can have happy and joyful.
One of the things I noticed when Jamie was showing me some of your pictures is portraits. There's a wonderful portrait of a horse, or your friends, or people you don't know, or each other. Are there things that you have to overcome when you're going to do portraits?
For our first actual homework we had to take a portrait of people we didn't know. And so my idea was I went to the mall, and I stopped random people who walked past and asked if they could take a picture real quick. And I spent 5 minutes with almost each person, like the homework said. And basically, it was kind of like uplifting to know that I had the confidence to go out to these random people and actually do that type of stuff.
And you wouldn't have done that before?
No.
How about you?
Yeah, when we started getting homework assignments, like walking up to random strangers and asking to take their picture, you learn to gain confidence because otherwise it's not going to end well for you and you're probably not going to get the best picture.
And again, you wouldn't have necessarily done that either.
No, I wouldn't have.
How about you, Paige?
I generally feel like I'm better at interacting with people just randomly like that, and I've kind of learned how to spot out people that will be more willing to cooperate in an excited way.
And you had an assignment to take pictures of your bedroom, right? Now, that's personal space. That's your bedroom?
That's my sister's bedroom.
First of all, did she want you to do that?
She wasn't home, so I just kind of did it.
It's different from doing the lobby at a big New York building.
Well, we both share the upstairs, like the entire upstairs is our room. And she gets the big room, and I get the smaller room because she has more stuff than I do. And I thought that I'd have to include that because that's technically part of my room. And I don't know. It was more personal because, you know, she didn't clean anything, so it was just...
And what do you think about its being the emblem for the show?
I don't know how to feel about it. It's flattering because it's, you know, my house, but it's my sister's room, and it's not clean, so, you know, I don't know.
And tell us about the light, because you've got a window almost in the center and reflection on the ceiling, and the walls are this incredible blue.
Well, I just kind of like the lighting a lot. It was, like, in the middle of the day, right before class.
The light is on the ceiling, it's coming through the window, it's reflected on the bed and on the floor as well. You were talking about lighting, and tell us what you see when you look at the light there, Chris.
I see happy, like, joyful, like a kid's... It looks like a kid's room, for as you can tell, and she wasn't looking for a gloomy, dark, eerie type feeling.
Isn't that right? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Jamie was talking about getting out into the community and getting to know your community better as being part of it. You could go volunteer without a camera. What role has the taking of pictures had in helping you get to know your community or communities that you might not know?
Well, the camera has really opened up a big door for me to really go outside and actually look around and start taking pictures of people on the sidewalks or churches or in the football games. I didn't really go to any of those. And just going to that just introduced me to some of the coaches and some of the players that I never really met before. And some, even some of the photographers on the field, even I met some of them.
So you're connecting with people and therefore the community.
Yes.
How about you?
When you go to take someone's picture, you need to ask for permission first, obviously. So you get to know that person, so the camera opens opportunities to get to know new people. And knowing new people, you get open to new events, and that you just learn about a lot of people.
I feel like I'm more connected just with the people that I see all the time, because I'll be walking through Wilkes-Barre like I do probably once a week, and people ask me what I'm doing because I have a camera on my chest, and they're asking me if it's for me, if it's for a class, if I do it for school, and I can talk to them about it, and I'm more observant about where I am and how I feel about it.
We go back to what you were saying. There's a sort of a legitimization of what you might be doing because you have the camera. There's something about that. Have you liked the idea that you get to hear these different speakers? We just heard the list of art director, violinist, civil rights photographer, and branding expert.
Well, the one that came in to talk about the civil rights movement and stuff like that, it interests me. It piqued my interest because I also want to study travel photography along with sports. And what that is that he traveled to go to this historic place, and that's basically what I want to do.
How about you?
My favorite speakers were the people from the Philharmonic because I've always been interested in music, and it just opened up a lot to me.
Did you take pictures?
Yeah. I went to the Philharmonic practice, and I took a lot of pictures.
For me, it was probably the curator from Wilkes, because she used a lot of different mediums of art and put them together with her photography as well, and that kind of resonated with me because I've always liked all different types of art, music, painting, drawing, photography, everything like that, and it makes me feel good to know I could put them all together.
Obviously, you have had a lot of weeks and a lot of pictures. How did you whittle it down, and what do you want us to see?
Well, I really want to focus on more emotion and more feeling into my pictures because that's more of something that when you start look at a photo or a picture, I see more emotion. I want to know what the person was feeling or what the person in the picture was feeling at the same time. That's what I'm striving for.
Do you have one that does that?
I took a picture of two of my friends. They're dating, and we was at a bonfire for our school because we had a rival game the next day. And it was a football player and a girl. They're hugging and had a blanket over them, and they're looking at the fire. They weren't looking at the camera. They're looking directly at the fire, and it was like the light was perfect and everything was on them. Yeah, so I really liked it.
And so we're going to see that.
Yes.
How about you?
Well, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so once we were talking about triangles and corners and things sticking out, I needed to get everything perfect. So there was this one picture that I took of, it's like my back porch, and I have lights strung over my door, and I have a wreath in the center, and that's probably my favorite picture I've taken so far.
Did you have one that you really are saying, I want you to see this because, darn it, it's one of the ones that I like the best?
One of my favorite pictures is when I go up with my sister to, she goes to LCC, so I go up there with her a lot, I have a lot of pictures of her and her friends just hanging out and being close. And I just kind of like capturing the interaction between them, so those are usually my favorites.
It's very difficult to be self-critical, but I would say of all the things Jay taught me, I think one that goes through my mind constantly is that if you're not your severest critic, you're your own worst enemy. And I've tried to impress the importance of that on these guys, that if it's not important to you or it's not a picture you would find interesting, it's sort of foolish to think anybody else is going to have anything to say or care about an image that the person who created it doesn't. So the pictures have to be personal. You know, a lot of people are more concerned about pixels than pictures. And so we've really tried to get at the essence of why you're taking this picture, what you're trying to say with it, with the understanding that the audience is going to bring their own baggage to it and their own interpretation. And sometimes that's great. It adds to it or it's a new meaning. But you should be, when you're exhibiting work, you should have an idea of what you would like to say with that picture.
What do you think when you hear these kinds of comments then?
I think I see a lot of growth in these guys. When they first came in, there was a lot of work we did in terms of how do you articulate something visual. It would be the equivalent of somebody saying, you should read this book. It's X, Y, and Z, and they tell you all about it. It's a totally different experience than actually reading the book or seeing a movie, or you're going to love this song. And photography is the same way. It's a visual medium. So how do you articulate it with words in a way that adds to their understanding of the work as opposed to just being blither? And so we started with a lot of keywording and looking at ourselves. And in the first couple of weeks, a lot of the words I noticed were things about anxiety and being uncomfortable. And it's hard. It's an awkward thing. And part of the creative process is figuring out those roadblocks and how you get around them. So we started with real obvious visual things and nouns and how many people have long hair and how many are boys and who has earrings and things like that that anybody off the street could come in and see, and just to get them comfortable. And it really helps to go back to the idea of empathy. It really helps to start to look at yourself if you can, in a collaborative way, not a competitive way, but get together with a group of people that you trust and get some, bounce some ideas off them so other people can have input on your work. So we have critiques every week. We have keywords, and those keywords move from nouns to adjectives. So instead of just saying, we have two people with a white shirt, now we say, well, this picture, the person looks happy, or this person is thinking, and you start to get a little bit more of a vocabulary and a way to speak about your work. We also have different exercises we did where they would have to get up in front of the rest of the group and run the slideshow and talk about their pictures. Or in other cases, they had to get up there and run the slideshow and talk about somebody else's pictures. We had different types of editing. Sometimes they would go into Adobe is very generously gave us licenses for software, so they would go in and use Lightroom and star and rank everything with metadata. And that way they can look back 3 months later and see in week one which pictures they like the best. Then we would sometimes stand up and move over three stations, and another person would go through your work. And in all those cases, there's sort of a binary response, I like this picture or I don't. But then to articulate it, we would have either the artist or the other person doing the editing come up with a list of keywords. These pictures are about nature. These ones are about friends. And then we start to see themes. And so it's interesting now to see them kind of see those sets. And I would bet if we looked at, and we'll probably do this next week, is instead of looking at the pictures and knowing whose they are, we'll just put them in there randomly. And I bet after 3 months, they're going to start to have a sense of, this is the type of picture Chris would take. Or I know this is Paige's because she always shoots X, Y, and Z. And now that they have the skills to evaluate them and articulate them, I think they'll start to see that they each have their own personality and really a voice. It's the same way, you know, like you'd say somebody who knows jazz music can hear, and not to say it's a saxophone, they can say that's Ben Webster. You know, they just know. And I think that they're working toward it to the point where their images will have their own fingerprint.
You're going to do this again in the spring.
Yeah, we're going to do it again in the spring. There's a deadline of December 31st, I believe, is the scholarship application deadline. It's on the website, and there are scholarships available for everybody. You do not have to have any experience whatsoever, and all the equipment is provided. So essentially you just have a sense of curiosity and a commitment to show up once a week and be prepared to have fun and a new experience.
Tell us the particulars about the show. The opening reception is...
It is Wednesday from 5 to 8, December 14th at TW Shoemaker Art, which is located at 312 Wyoming Avenue. In Wyoming, it's the two buildings from the intersection of Wyoming Ave and 8th Street.
And how long will we get to see if we can't make it on the 14th? How long will we have?
You'll have a while. It'll be by appointment after that. But the raffle and all that kind of stuff will be at the opening.
The title of the show is Explore Your Empathy Too. So there's something going on there.
Yeah, sure. The purpose of the show. The students, since they're all on scholarship, really decided they wanted to do something with a pay-it-forward attitude. And so all of them have accepted the offer I gave them, which was they could either turn in their cameras at the end of the class, or if they wanted to keep them through the holiday break, they could do some volunteer work and they could learn about things in our community and specifically food distribution and hunger. So a couple of stats that I found were interesting. Frank Cunningham gave me a tour of the Commission on Economic Opportunity, the Weinberg Food Bank, the new building that he helped raise money to build. It's really impressive. In four counties that they serve, I think they moved 8 million pounds of food in 2015. 9 million will be 2016. And they gave us a lot of guidance and really good advice. But I'll give you one simple stat, which is 14% of the population in Luzerne County is food insecure. So if you know 100 people, there's 14 people you know that are having a hard time. And this was an issue that we wanted to deal with, given that these kids have been given a scholarship and an opportunity. We thought they could give back in some way, and it was an important cause. So they're doing it on a couple of levels. The first is that they all decided to get the extension. So they agreed to do two volunteer activities. Some of them served at the First Presbyterian Church's Thanksgiving food preparation and delivery. Some of them served at the CEO Westside Mall food distribution days. And then I think by the end of it, all of them will, but most of them have also helped out at Our Daily Bread's food pantry. So through that, they've gotten to empathize and meet new people and see there's a different side and be encouraged that there's a way that they can help. You know, I think if you're a teenager and you think, well, I don't have oodles of money to just throw at this problem, but you do have energy and you do have the ability to, you know, physically help in a way. And the second way is specifically for the exhibit. It's very simple. It's free. It's open to the public. Anybody can show up. However, we are encouraging people to bring a perishable item, and there's some suggestions on the website. Sometimes personal items or a toothbrush, something like that, is almost as useful as a food item. But at any rate, if you bring a food item, you will get a raffle ticket, and the students have gone around and got a bunch of raffle prizes. So hopefully that will encourage people to come and participate. And hopefully their exhibit, they'll see that their work is something they can share with the community, but also something that will lead to, you know, the byproduct will have a positive impact.
Artist and professional photographer Jamie Smith, founder of the Social Fabric Collective, with students Chris Clark of GAR High School, Maddie Swire of Dallas High School, and Paige Dean of the Pennsylvania Cyber Charter School, 3 of 10 students taking part in the Social Fabric Collective 12-week photography workshop, and they were here to talk about their work and invite us to join them at the opening of Explore Your Empathy 2, Social Fabric Collective Fall 2016 Photography Exhibit and Food Drive, Wednesday, December 14th from 5 to 8 p.m. at T.W. Shoemaker Art, 312 Wyoming Avenue in Wyoming. The event is free and open to the public. A suggested donation, a non-perishable food item that will be donated to the Mount Zion Baptist Church's Our Daily Bread Food Pantry. And this is a professional exhibit. These young people have been treated very seriously in the course of this workshop. The standards are exceedingly high, and they have the opportunity to have their work displayed and exhibited in a professional manner. And this opening, Wednesday, December 14th, 5 to 8 p.m., later on by appointment. The information is all on the website, socialfabriccollective.org, socialfabriccollective.org. If you know a young person in high school, or if you are a young person in high school, and this whole enterprise sounds intriguing, the Spring 2017 workshop is accepting scholarship applications. The deadline is December 31st, 2016, so just a few weeks from now. There is no experience required. You don't have to ever have taken a picture. The equipment is provided, and again, it is professional equipment, and you have access to professional software and editing equipment as well, and you just have to make the commitment to attending the once-a-week classes. It is Explore Your Empathy, presented by the Social Fabric Collective out of the T.W. Shoemaker Art Studios and Gallery, 312 Wyoming Avenue in Wyoming, across the river from the greater Wilkes-Barre area. The exhibit and the food drive reception open to the public free of charge, 5 to 8 p.m. this Wednesday, December 14th. For more information on the web, socialfabriccollective.org, socialfabriccollective.org.